floating. I wanted to say thank you for coming, and I appreciate all of my fellow panelists. I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. So go ahead and get started. I want to first acknowledge my my co-authors, the director of the Center for Evidence-Based Practice, Dr. Crabtree, as well as the research informationist we work with, Emily Brennan, through the medical library. And again, I have no disclosures to. The MUSC, the Center for Evidence-Based Practice, we were established in 2013, really with three main goals: to promote scientific inquiry system-wide, to integrate evidence-based practice at the point of care throughout both inpatient and ambulatory areas, and to improve patient safety and quality outcomes. Really, our goal was to integrate the research evidence, best research evidence, with clinical expertise, as well as taking into account patient values and preferences more at a local level, using a systematic approach. We do this in three specific ways through the Center of Evidence-Based Practice, the first of which is the facilitation of the development of clinical decision support tools. Some of those are order sets within our electronic health record, clinical pathways and management algorithms that are accessible to clinicians, and evidence synthesis services that are used by our clinical informatics teams. We also focus on quality and research with a big focus on outcome measurement of the clinical decision support tools that we put into practice. But really what I'm here to talk to you guys today about is our education efforts, specifically the interprofessional evidence-based practice course that we teach. We offer the interprofessional evidence-based course to clinicians once a year, and it's geared at interprofessional teams of 2 to 9 clinicians. These teams typically involve physicians, nurses, pharmacists, and other allied health professionals, RTs, PTs, dietitians, and things like that. A lot of times we also involve either data analytics or members from our EHR team. These teams have to apply to the course with a specific topic in mind, and they need to be accepted into the course to participate. The course occurs over 6 1.5-hour long sessions, and we provide lunch during the sessions because food brings the people. And then we also offer continuing education credits for attendings and nurses who participate in the program, as long as their project is completed. And as I mentioned, we do partner with the medical librarians through the Medical University of South Carolina, as well as the EHR team through the medical center. And this is really a high-level view of the 5 components that we go, that we dive into through the interprofessional course, and I'm going to talk to each one of these in more detail. The first and foremost thing that we do with the teams of clinicians once the course begins is start with the first step, which is asking focused clinical questions. During the first session, we really work with the teams to develop searchable clinical questions using the PICO format. For those of you who may not be familiar with PICO, PICO stands for population or patient, intervention, comparison, and outcomes. We also sometimes add the T, which is the type of intervention, the type of study, depending on the topic area. And what you'll see here is 3 questions that were actually developed by one of our interprofessional teams who took the course with a focus on child abuse and neglect. The next step of the process of evidence-based practice is finding the evidence. And what we do for these particular sessions is 2 sessions with a medical librarian housed in the university library. And the The initial focus is on any existing evidence-based guidelines, both through other medical centers, other medical universities, and also looking at national and international guidelines through the National Guideline Clearinghouse and through individual organizations. In the absence of those, or in the case where some of the clinical questions being asked by the teams are not being addressed by the guidelines, or if the guidelines are older, we also teach searching for primary literature as well. Some of the different databases you see here on this slide, the medical librarian will go into depth with how to search, how to frame clinical questions, the different kinds of searching tools for each of these. And then once those two sessions are over, we offer a hands-on, one-on-one session with the different clinicians, as well as a review of their search strategies. The next step is appraising the evidence. So what we do is teach two classes, one that focuses on critical appraisal from the perspective of what are their limitations for different types of studies, and what are the basic statistics that are used in those studies. And then the second session really focuses on two specific applications. The first is the grade criteria, which is used for primary literature. It's a very common sense approach, very transparent for allowing you to look at an entire body of literature, and then upgrade or downgrade based on the quality, as well as provides strength for practice recommendations. We also teach the UPenn the UPenn Trustworthiness Guideline Rating Scale for evaluating existing evidence-based guidelines. The next step is actually applying the evidence. We work with the clinicians to develop clinical decision support tools. What you see here is an order set that was built by the team of clinicians that focused on child abuse and neglect. And the part that is in that box is the clinical decision support used by the clinicians at the point of care to assist with determining what tests for diagnostics and imaging to order. Once the clinical decision support tools have been developed by the teams, we with the center help to guide them through the process of approval and translation into the EHR. So here, this is the process that all of the order sets that are evidence-based go through. They're approved by the content expert team, house-wide review, oversight committee, and then we assist with dissemination as well. The last step of the evidence-based process is evaluation. So we work with these clinical teams to develop both process and impact evaluation outcomes that they're interested in addressing. So as you see here, these are the process and impact outcomes that were important to this particular team. And finally, in the 2 years that we've taught this course, we've developed 10 evidence-based guidelines through these interprofessional teams who kind of did all the work. We just guided them through and facilitated. And 100 clinicians have completed the course. The different order sets you see at the left are the ones that are currently in the electronic medical record and being evaluated. So in closing, I wanted to say thank you, and I look forward to your questions.